WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into what feels like a little bit of a mini bye week here with the New Orleans Saints being a Monday night. Two Sundays on the couch watching football and red zone. And we're going to be in Dundalk in my homeland at Drug City on Friday doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. Yes, they have a crab cake at Drug City. Only I could be sitting at the bar at Costas and be pitched into doing a crab cake tour at Drug City. We're going to be at the fountain with Chuck and a bunch of folks. My dude, Todd Crandall, Republican running for office this week. Lots of people running for office. You'll hear a lot of that at Baltimore Positive this week. I'm not taking a bye week. I just have important civic conversations that we've had with lots and lots of candidates, including on Friday, including I think my son's going to stop by. I'm taking my high school yearbook, and we lost my great, great English teacher and professor, Alan Stockett. We lost him over the weekend, so we're going to honor Mr. Stockett on Friday by speaking properly and appropriately, and I'll begin all that by welcoming Leonard Raskin back onto the program. I got my Raskin Global shirt on here. You know, there's no like game within 48 hours. We got a little bit of breathing space here. That wacky Thursday night thing down in Tampa with Tom Brady and Tom Brady's divorce, right? So it's been quite a news cycle here as we watch the Philadelphia Phillies grease poles and try to win the World Series this week, right?
Absolutely. Interesting week for Tom. It'll be interesting to see how the Buccaneers play now that Tom's divorce is final, according to the news world. I don't care what he says. I don't care what anybody says. It is clear to me, at least. I mean, I've walked clients through divorce lots of times. It is not good. There is nothing good.
Is that the worst thing? I mean, well, other than death, right?
Death is pretty bad.
Death is final. But
divorce is worse
because everybody's
still here.
Right.
Everybody's still here.
Right.
You've got all that hate in your heart, and you got to deal, especially when you got to deal with kids. In this case, I don't know that they had to deal with much of the money. I'm sure each of them had a prenup. I'm sure they took care of things. I'm sure the lawyers wrote all the stuff. But I don't care what anybody says. It's distracting as hell. It takes your focus. Look, the guy's married to football, and he was married to her. And when she left, or they split, or whatever the heck happened, however it happened, let's face it, you're focusing on that. You're thinking about that. You're thinking about your kids. Your life's in upheaval. And you know darn well, man, when your wife was sick or when your back is out, work suffers. You know, that's it. There's pain in your life. And work suffers. I don't care if that's emotional, mental, physical. Work suffers.
It's a basic premise of productivity, right?
It's just
we only have so much time, right? Literally.
Yeah, there's only so much bandwidth the body can absorb. And the dude is the greatest of all time. There's no question from a quarterback standpoint. Nobody's done it better. Nobody's won more than he's won. But you can't focus. Look, you try for a minute to talk about something you want to talk about and think about something else. Body, the mind just doesn't allow it. Doesn't work.
So, I can't do that. I mean, when I'm writing something, people talk
nobody
to me. I'm
can.
Like, please, I don't multitask when I'm doing.
That's exactly right.
When I'm doing content, radio, having conversations with people like you, I may look something up and I may type a quick note to someone, but I can't focus on two things at once.
No, you can't. It's impossible. It's impossible. The mind just doesn't do it. So he's focused on his family. He's focused on football, and football suffered. I would believe no doubt. I think they're going to get better coming out of that because he's going to be able to think more about football if he's thinking more about football. I'd be surprised if he's not thinking more about his ultimate real retirement from football. The dude signed a massive contract, I think, with Fox to be a broadcaster. Let's face it, he's going to make a ton more money. He's going to talk football forever, and he's not going to be talking about his ex-wife. So good for us that we caught him at a great time when he couldn't throw great passes. We played good defense. We ran the ball. We ran the ball. When you run the ball as the Ravens, you generally win. So we ran the ball. We won the game. I was very happy that they were behind for a lot of the game because then they couldn't blow the lead. You can't blow a lead when you're behind. And then they took the lead, and then they took a double-digit lead, and then it was, oh, my God, time, and then it was Ravens fourth quarter time, and they pulled it out. So good for them. We won a game. It was a great game. Now let's move on. I love the mini-bye. I love Look, I don't like Thursday night football at all. I think it's been terrible. The games are terrible. The players are all hurt.
They're only good when you win it.
Right. They're getting hurt. Well, it's not even good when you win it. It's just a good win, but it's bad football mostly. But I do like the fact that we go from a Thursday night to a Monday night a week later. That's a really nice long break. And then the bye. So would they said yeah, during
all the
broadcast,
complaining Billick ever did about the, you know, the league's out to get us and all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, in this particular case,
one
no
game in 23 days
scheduled here.
Yeah. One game in 3 weeks is lovely, man. If they can't get healed up here. And then you look at the schedule post the bye and look, no team's a pushover. Everybody can win. But you look at the games they have coming out of the bye, they have a few wins on that schedule to notch that belt right up.
Leonard Raskin is here. He is a Raskin Global. You can find him out at the website. But so I want to go back to Brady for a minute because I said this. I had Dennis. Dennis and I threw it around on his show, which is heard on Thursday from 3 until 5, Sunday Sports Voice, and again on Sunday mornings. And because of the weirdness of Thursday night, we did a segment, and I had just – happened on the morning after the game to do a Friday morning, and we were talking about Brady, and the divorce came at like 10 a.m. and Dennis and I did the piece at like 9 a.m. on Friday morning, right? So we were talking about, and Dennis even said, I hope he keeps his marriage together, like, and an hour later he's out on Instagram, he's divorced, right? So I would just say this. I spent Thursday night and all, you know, tip of the cap to Chad Steele for throwing me out of doing the job that I do, discriminating as to who can be in and who can't. But I wasn't in Tampa Thursday, right? My mother-in-law lives down in that part of the world. My wife and I were supposed to go to Disney over the weekend. Like, we were going to make a thing of it, right? Maybe stay in Florida a little while. Didn't do it that way. My wife went to New Hampshire. I stayed here. I worked. And Thursday afternoon, Mark Weller from Weller Development, who was at one point the key guy for Port Covington and Kevin Plank's group and all the money and the cranes in the sky. That's Crane, C-R-A-N-E. I misspelled Crane like the bird. So I apologize for that. And on Twitter. So Thursday, he texts me and says, hey, we're having an event with Cal Ripken tonight. It's a fundraiser for Cal Senior. It's low key. It's high end. There's not a lot of people. Come down. I like to see. I'm like, hey, it was 5 o'clock on a game night. Sure. So I went down there. Had a couple of oysters. They were delicious down at Nick's in Port Covington, the Anthem House, that area down there. So I see Cal Ripken and his second wife. I knew Kelly. I don't really know his wife. I know she's a judge down in Annapolis. But I haven't been with Cal in a little while, but I saw him elbow bumped him a month ago. And I saw him. Dude, he looks relaxed. He looks happy. He looks well-adjusted. He looks happy. He looks healthy. He looks
good.
Happy, right? And then I'm in the back of the room. He's up there with Brett Hollander and Mark Weller, and they're talking about Cal Sr., and they're talking about the foundation, talking about kids, talking about charity stuff, stuff that you love. You know, it's the kind of event you would have loved to have been at, right? And they're bringing these big crabs out. And I was just there like, I had a Zadies Union drink, had a beer. I saw Cal elbow bumped, just chatted. He's going to get his son on my show because I've never met his son. So I'm in the back and I'm just watching this happy event. And then I go and I watch Tom Brady and I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, like, what's he doing? He doesn't look happy. Even playing football. And like, I'm thinking to myself, all that misery that Michael Jordan had with gambling and this and that. And I think about, like, every time I hear a Soundgarden song, I think of Chris Cornell. Every time I hear a Nirvana song, every time I hear a Prince song, and I think these people are no longer with us, and they had some level of misery in their life. And I want to open the door for you to talk a little bit about it, because, like, you are that guy that has sometime – you have a lot of people in your life. Not all of them are – you know, famous and poor like me.
Sure.
Some of them are quiet and rich, right?
Of course.
So, but literally, I mean, in all sincerity, you try to take people and say, when you get to the Tom Brady or the Cal Ripken moment in your life, you need to be happy. You need to have the right wife, the right life, the right money, the right peace of mind, the right insurance, the right life.
You know, it's amazing.
You know, I'm
54
years old. I want to be happier, and I came and found you. Part of this is you're trying to help me get happier, you know?
We talk about the American dream and how to fulfill it, and the fact of the matter is that money ain't it. People think, you know, oh, he's got money. He must be happy. No. You can see that from what you just said. There are lots of unhappy people with money. And money doesn't change who you are. It just changes what you do with who you are. And so if you're a miserable gambler, you're going to be a rich, miserabler gambler. If you drink, you're going to drink more. If you party, you're going to party more. If you care about charity and family and great causes and you love your life and you're happy and you can do great things, you're going to do great things. I've got people that don't have a lot of money that we work with that are super happy. I got people that have a lot of money that are super happy. I got people that, you know, are miserable both cases. So
they were miserable when they're poor and then they get rich and they're miserable.
There's just miserable people. Look, I got people that have a lot of money. And here's the thing. I have people that have a lot of money and they watch it all the time. They're checking their accounts every day, sometimes twice a day, just to see what's going on with their account. And I say to them, why?
You have a net worth of $8 million. What difference is it, right?
Then you're checking your account. Where did I see it? I don't know where I saw this stat. It was really a crazy stat, kind of blew my mind. It said there are different cities and what it takes to be, quote unquote, comfortable living in the city, in each city, not like Baltimore City, Baltimore County, but like the region, Baltimore. It said you need to make $52,000 to be comfortable, you know, to be okay in Baltimore. I also read a study just last week. A guy, this accountant, put out this study that said if you have income of greater than $60,000 a year, that should be enough for anybody to live on, and everything over that is fluff and gravy.
Enjoyment. Never been to Manhattan or San Francisco.
Yeah,
right?
I don't know where this guy lives, but it's just crazy. But the fact is, we would agree, you and I, I'm sure, that there is a level after which the, what we call in economics, the incremental utility of the dollar, the next dollar, like you said, the guy that's worth 8 million, the next dollar isn't going to change the situation. So I said to this guy once, you know, you check your accounts all the time. Why? Well, I want to see what's going on. I said, you're working, you're married, you have children, you're happy, you're still bringing in an income. You're not going to live on this money for years and years to come. What's the point? Well, when I want to see what's going on. I said, yeah, when the market's down, you're miserable. And when the market's up, if your account's not up as far as the market's up, you're miserable. You know what? I think you just like being miserable. That's what I said to him.
Well, I mean, there it takes it to Tom Brady, right? All I could think about, Dennis and I had this conversation. I really did think about it on Friday. Like, I thought about it at length because I was out. I went up to Greenmount Station. It was a beautiful day. I had the windows down. The leaves were, it was just a beautiful day. I had a beautiful lunch. Yep. All of this. And I'm thinking about Tom Brady, and I saw his statement, and I saw his body language, and now he's on a bad team, right? Like, they lost on Thursday night. This divorce thing happens on Friday. And I'm thinking, he's this beautiful man with this beautiful mind. He's the greatest of all time. He's better looking than anybody. He's healthier than anybody. He's won more than anybody. He's got more money than he needs. He's married to this beautiful woman. They had these beautiful children. They had this beautiful thing.
And now it's miserable.
And now it's misery. And I'm thinking to myself, man, I thought you left Bill Belichick. You know what I mean? Like, and I don't even mean that as a punchline, but I just mean there is a point in this. I mean, even my own circumstance with the Ravens and not going to games, there's a point in this where I'm really pissed off, and I think you know that. Because I think I'm going to find out if it's illegal what's happened. But for me, sitting here for the first time in my life, just watching it on TV, being forced to not do my job, the thing that I've done to feed my family forever, forced to it.
Yep.
I'm watching it and trying to not be miserable like that guy, right?
Right.
Like I'm
thinking,
like, you're Tom Brady. Don't be miserable. I don't even like you. I don't even root for you. You're a cheater.
Right.
But for crying out loud, you haven't figured out life if you can't be happy, man.
Well, that's it. He's got an identity for sure, and he's happy in it, but not right now because there's too much going on. But it just shows you money, fame, good looks, wife, happy, power, whatever. And you can still be miserable. And so, you know, we're talking about the American dream with people. And part of that is, what's your purpose? What is the purpose for your money? What is it that gets you up and gets you going that's more important than the money itself? And sometimes people just don't have that. They just don't know what that is and they haven't found it. So maybe he just hasn't found that, or maybe his purpose, and this could be the case, let's face it, maybe his purpose is football and he's all about it and he's going to be a broadcaster and he's going to be great. Maybe he'll be happy again. I hope everybody's happy. Misery is a bad place to be, man. It's just no good. So let's hope he's happy and all's good in the world. And away we go. We all know people that have a lot of money that are miserable. And we know people that have a lot of money that are happy. I prefer happy. I try to help people. One of the things that people say to me all the time when I meet with them is, man, you're asking me stuff nobody's ever talked about. I'm having to answer questions I don't really want to answer.
Dude, you've made me very uncomfortable. Within the framework of our relationship through years, our relationship changes when the door shuts and I have to tell you real stuff.
Yeah,
because it is way more than like a priest or even like, I mean, literally more like a therapist. Like
it is, absolutely. Look, I had a woman years ago. We were in a meeting. We were going over her estate plans. And I said, this is a second marriage. And I said, so if something happens to you, because her first husband, now let me be clear, her first husband passed. It wasn't a divorce. First husband passed away. They had kids. And I said to her, so now she's with second husband. And I said to her, if something happens to you, who's going to raise your kids? Is it going to be your husband? And her kids were little. And she said to me, I don't know. I'm not really sure. And 6 months later, she was separated. She said to me, you made me think about something I didn't want to think about, which was, is this the right guy for my kids? And if he's not the right guy for my kids, if I'm not here, how can he be the right guy for my kids with me here? And she got divorced and she said she was never happier after that. But you know, it comes to that. You start talking about stuff and people get real, real. And when you get real, real talking about money, you know, all that stuff comes up. So here's hoping he finds happiness and here's hoping that Lamar Jackson is happy. He certainly seems to be happy. That's the thing about Lamar. Lamar seems to be a really happy dude. And I hope he's going to be $300 million.
Well, and then there is the fighting for money because it's your value, right? Like for me to go fight with the Ravens, it's about right and wrong, like in regard to my media access and whatnot. And I would think, and it really is just about right and wrong. I mean, I can't boil it down 19,000 words stronger to say you're either on some level of integrity and justice or you're not. And the same thing would be true for Lamar, who's playing at half price right now, right?
Yeah.
On this contract, by force to some degree, but they would say, dude, we offered you $98 million in cold hard cash right here, right now value. And you said no to that and you're walking from that and we're not going to offer you 232.
And yes, they are. They're either going to, either they're gonna or somebody else will. Let's not kid ourselves. We're gonna see what after the bye we got the Panthers, right? We got the Jags, and then we got the next $250 million man, I think, which is
The Broncos. The Broncos Russell. Are the fourth, Russell, right?
Right, Russell. So and, that's and what then, I'm saying. And guess what? Seattle didn't want to give it to him. Denver did. And so if Bisciotti don't want to give it to him. What's his name? I'm in Khan or whatever his name is. I'm telling you, Tampa Bay, they're going to be looking for a quarterback. And
no, Khan owns Jacksonville. He's already paid.
Oh, I'm sorry. He's paid.
He's got the
man.
Kid from Clemson that couldn't throw
he's
the ball straight.
He's got the Clemson kid.
Couldn't throw the ball straight over
he'll
London.
He'll get there. That kid's going to be a good quarterback.
Yeah,
that
I agree with you. You know, one
he just needs better parts. He needs better help. But who's the guy? Okay, so who's the one that owns Tampa?
That's the Glazer boys.
Glazers. The Glazers. See?
They were going to own the Bombers here back in 90s. Right.
They could have owned Baltimore. So they're going to stab us in the heart again. They're going to stab us in the heart by taking Lamar.
They've had two parades now. They've had two different
and they like it.
Family parades. Yeah. And they've watched the Lightning go nuts down there. And they've watched the Rays win and nobody cares, right, down in Tampa.
That's right.
Let me say this to you, because I've talked a little bit about happiness here in this segment, and you mentioned Lamar being happy. It's funny, Dennis and I had a long chat in the morning after where he held up the sign, pay him now.
Somebody threw it at him on the
ground. Dude, I thought that was a prank. When I woke, I saw that at 4 a.m. bleary eyed. I went to bed.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? One of the benefits is I didn't have to go into the bowls down on the Dale Mabry and wind up at Mons Venus at 3 a.m. I didn't have to do any of that, right? I literally turned the TV off when Lamar was hugging Tom Brady, and I went to bed with the cat.
Yeah.
And I woke up at 4 a.m. He's holding that sign, and I'm like, That's not a real sign. That's got to be a meme.
That's
something your kid put together in Ohio State in his spare time after the game.
That's right.
And then I did radio with Luke in the morning, and then I started seeing the real video of it. And by the time I got to Dennis, I'm like, Dennis, I didn't know till like 20 minutes ago that was a real thing. So you mentioned his happiness.
Yeah.
Dennis and I have thought that he's playing out the string now, that he's not.
Sure.
That he is just an employee at this point, ready to test the waters. Like when you're out on a date with a girl you've been dating for 3 years and she wants to be married and you don't, and it's Valentine's Day, she's out with you, but you don't have a ring and there's not going to be a ring. And it's just more about where she's going to be in 5 years and where you're going to be in 5 years. Like your second divorcee in 6 months was saying, no bueno. Yeah. Where's Lamar going to be in 6 months? Where's Eric DaCosta going to be in 6 months? Because this feels to me, this feels to me like the beginning of the NBAification of elite superstar players in this league saying, I run into linebackers, I'm getting guaranteed money. I don't care about, about the rest of you, but this Roger Dorn property here is going to be well taken care of. And I would think if Lamar's thinking like that, he's got a guy like you buying him Lloyd's of London right now.
Well, here's hoping. But boy, I tell you, he's priming for it, and he's the talk of the NFL. He keeps getting better and better, and he's going to be throwing better. He's going to be running better. He's a video game dude, and he's going to get paid. That's it. He's going to get paid, and somebody's going to pay him, because there's lots of owners that have big money and they don't like each other. And guess what? I don't think they care too much that they don't like each other. They act like they like each other when they're colluding on salaries or something, but ultimately he's going to get paid. So be it.
That Ursay Snyder thing's juicy. And then the Commanders win and beat the call. I mean, who am I rooting for in that mess?
You can't write the story better. You couldn't write that yourself better.
Yeah.
Speaking of video games though, in Lamar, I want to catch you on one other thing. This past weekend, did you see the end of the NASCAR race? This is crazy. Did you see the end of that race? You didn't.
No,
I know
I
you
did
didn't.
Not.
Okay.
No, somebody got into the point series by doing something crazy. I know
so
that.
There's, it's the final four.
This stuff comes to me a little bit, right? So I'm not
so
completely
this week,
ignorant.
This week set the final four for next week in Phoenix. Now, the way the NASCAR series works now is they have these playoffs and you get points. And it depends on where you place in the race, and you don't have to win in the last playoffs to win, but you got to get in the final four to have a shot. And then next week, Phoenix, whoever leads of the four at the end is the champion. So you don't have to win next week, but if you're number seven and all the three other guys are 8, 9, and 10, you win the championship for the year at number seven because you're the best of the four. Okay, so this past weekend was the final four get in. And Denny Hamlin had it locked up as the fourth driver in based on the last couple laps of the race. And this kid who was fifth and had to pass Denny to get in, literally did a video game move. He hit the gas, and they're a track in Virginia, Martinsville in Virginia. You can't run this track wide open. You got to slow, easy. It's one
That's
of those
a
NASCAR,
small track, right?
Yeah. It's one of these NASCAR tracks that you and I think we could drive on because they only go 120. They don't go 200. Well, this kid went into turn two of the last lap. He went on the outside wall. He hit the gas to the floor, and he just held on and rode the wall, literally all the way around the track. He skid his car on the wall in fifth gear as fast as the car would go because he knew if he wasn't on the wall, he was going to hit the wall. So he rode it up on the wall, hit the gas, and drove as fast as he could, 200 plus miles an hour, for the last half a lap and passed 10 cars because they were all doing like the final lap at 120.
I'm gonna have to go watch it now. I'm sorry, I'm ignorant to it, but I'm glad you're turning me on to it.
And what it is, it's like a video game move. every kid who plays NASCAR video has done this. They've like rolled their car up on the wall and gone as fast as they could. And he did it live in like real time in a race to get into the final four. It was amazing. So you talk about Lamar being video game quarterback. This kid did video game NASCAR. It was utterly amazing. And I'm only watching, I'm flipping back and forth, and I got it on because, you know, no Sunday Ravens. So I don't have a vested interest in any other games except, of course, rooting the fact that Pittsburgh lost. That was good.
Leonard, and I went with 7 hours of commercial-free football.
Oh, red zone.
That's what I did.
Red zone.
I red zoned all day.
And now we're hoping that on a nice Monday night, the Browns will beat the Bengals. That would be lovely. But besides that, I'm flipping to NASCAR, and I'm watching the end, and it was just unbelievable. I like watching cars turning left.
Yeah, it's not my thing. Sorry.
I enjoy it at the end.
I went to Dover. It was a little loud for me. Just like, not my thing.
Got the headphones on.
There's to like everything. I don't have to like
no, of course
music
not.
Or rap
have you
music.
Ever done,
I mean, I can just stick with rock. I'm good.
No, have you ever done the experience, the like Richard Petty experience or any of them where you get in the car and drive 180?
I would love to do that. Get down to Charlotte and run around and be a maniac.
Do it. Yeah, well, if you're in Orlando, they got the thing down in Orlando you can do. You know, you're cruising 120, 130 on that track, and you see what kind of athletes these guys are. It's hard to hold that steering wheel.
I'm not disparaging it. I'm just saying
it's amazing.
It's not the amount of investment I would need to make.
I got it.
Time and emotions, you know?
But this kid,
there are movies I still need to see, books I need to read.
Yeah. But it was an amazing ending to an amazing race. He pulled off like nobody had ever seen it in real on the track. Nobody had ever done it on the track ever. Like as long as racing has gone on, no one has ever done this. And he did it and it worked and he got into the final four. It's absolutely.
I heard Tirico talking about it during the football game. So it made me think, like, now that both of you have talked about it, I'm going to have to go Google it. Leonard Raskin is here. you got any clients up in Philadelphia?
I do.
Yeah, they're greasing down the poles up there. Wish them good luck this week. Got a World Series this week. Luke is out in Owings Mills.
Isn't it Thursday night? We talked about this. Isn't Thursday night Eagles
Houston? Correct.
Right in the middle of the Philly.
Houston and Philly owns the week. I just don't want the Astros to win. I got a Phillies hat on. I'm with the Phillies.
Trey Mancini, baby. Trey Mancini.
I'm with Hughes, is what I would say. And
Ewins.
No, Ewins is that's Western, but Hughes guys.
All right.
Yeah,
all
so
right.
I'm with Hughes guys and the Rocky statue and all that this week, greasing down the poles. Luke and I talk some baseball. We'll be watching the World Series all week. Luke's going to be getting us ready for the Saints on Monday night. I'm doing a Crab Cake Tour, Maryland Crab Cake Tour, presented by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Goodwill and Window Nation. That's on Friday at the Fountain at Drug City in Dundalk. Got great guest Todd Crandall's coming out. Got some old Dundalk friends. We're going to honor Alan Stockett. And we are at Pappas in Cockeysville on the 18th on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore positive.